Sugars, today we're talking about the news. Fair news, not fair news, fake news, not fake news. We're talking with Erica Mandy. She is the host of The Newsworthy, which is a 10-minute podcast that I've come to really enjoy, y'all, just because it's, well, you'll hear in the show, but why I like it. But it's just a little 10-minute podcast every day where she recaps the top stories of what's going on in the news. So that sounds like, oh, okay, a simple thing. But I loved our conversation because it really was about her history working as a reporter, as a woman, and also just her relation, how she struggles with, in her opinion, keeping the news unbiased and fair, and just kind of about the state of news in general. So anyway, it was nice to do an in-person interview with somebody who's an LA local, and I really hope that, like I said, now I am a subscriber of her show. Just, well, I won't tell you why. You'll see why. I'm teasing you, but hopefully you like this new Dear Maddie with Erica Mandy. Enjoy.
What? It's a podcast. Welcome to Dear Maddie's show. Whoop, whoop. We've got a hard-hitting, newsworthy Dear Maddie show today because Erica Mandy from the Newsworthy podcast is here.
Hello. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Of course, I'm happy to be here. I'm hot. You're great. And I just said when we were testing, like, you have the best radio voice.
I do?
You do.
Thank you.
It sounds really good. Erica Mandy, how are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm so happy to be here with you.
I felt like I've known you before, but we just met at Podcast Move It, right?
Yeah. We connected first digitally because I was going to be on the show, and mm-hmm. then we realized that we were both in LA, and mm-hmm. so we canceled doing it over the air so we could be in person, and then we're like, oh, we're going to be at Podcast Movement.
Put the microphone a little closer to your mouth, Sugar. Okay. It's like a baby's ear you whisper I love you in. That's the way my microphones are. I don't know. That doesn't make sense.
I'm happy to do that. I know. I usually have my headphones, so I don't know.
I know. I lost my headphones, y'all. I'm already... Erica Mandy's from a really professional show, y'all. Like, when I listen to it, I'm like, okay, this shit is good. I already cussed. I told you it wasn't cussed. But I was like, this shit is legit. And then there's my show.
I love your show.
Which is just whatever. Okay. Then and she looks cute. She's wearing a jumper and a romper and heels. And okay, so tell me about the Newsworthy podcast. How long have y'all been going? How many?
I just celebrated the 1 year since launch. So just over a year. I know. I can't believe it. I'm happy that it's been that long.
That's, well, congrats, because I know a lot of people fizzle out before that. So tell everybody, the Newsworthy is a news podcast. So tell them.
Yes.
Tell them
what it is.
Yeah, what it is for you.
So the Newsworthy is all the day's news in less than 10 minutes. And the kind of tagline that I explain it with is fast, fair, and fun. So it's less than 10 minutes. It's fair and unbiased, and it's fun. Like, I try to bring a casual, upbeat, friendly voice to the news, because when I was a broadcast journalist or a TV news reporter, I kept hearing from people that they just were tuning out the news because it was too depressing. Depressing was always the word I heard, or boring, or time consuming. And so I wanted to create something that kind of solved all those problems so that you could be informed without feeling like it was all doom and gloom, or that you had to be, you know, glued to a screen at a certain time, or, you know, reading a million headlines while you were trying to get ready in the morning so that you could have an idea of what was going on for that day. So I just try to make staying informed really easy and actually enjoyable for a change.
Well, what I like, a lot of it is your voice, because maybe just because I'm a singer and I think about voice stuff, but a lot of news, they do that kind of,
yes. And I used to do it.
It's like you tighten your vocal cords. It's a technique. And it's like, even that, it's like a negative kind of biting sound, and you just hear it all. I'll hear it like when my boyfriend's watching ESPN a lot, and I'm like, I can't. And I love that the way your voice sounds and listening to your show, I feel like we're at brunch and you're telling me all the gossip that it's not gossip, it's news. It's actual news.
Yes.
But you're kind of like, it does have that casual, we're just sitting having brunch and you're telling me like, hey, this is what's going on. It also reminds me of, you know, Timothy Ferris, right?
Ferris. Yep.
So he writes about it in the 4-hour work week. He talks about how he doesn't watch or read the news a lot, and how it's how he says, I just kind of check the headlines like once or twice a week. And I feel like, I think about that with your show, and that it's just, it's not something that's going to like bring me down. And it's literally 10 minutes. And what else also I like, sorry, I'm going to tell you everything I like about your show.
I welcome it. Thank you.
But I also like, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of like why I like reading news like from my Apple News app or like from my clipboard, I think is a news app.
Yeah,
whatever.
There's a bunch of them, but yeah.
But what I like about those is that they aggregate, you know, news right. from all different sources, which is what you do as well. So, like, we're recording this episode. This is going to go up on Thursday, but we're on the 20th. It's going to go up this week. But we're recording this on Monday the 17th. And, like, you talked about, obviously, about, like, Kavanaugh and all that kind of stuff going on. But you talked about, like, the new Apple update.
Yes.
Which I'm an Apple person. I was like, oh. And I love NPR. But, like, they don't mention that kind of stuff on NPR unless you're listening to the Tech Hour. You know what I mean? It's not on there. So I enjoy that you really do kind of have just a little bit of everything on your show. And it is – and then I will say this, too. It is even more than NPR. And I think NPR is pretty freaking fair. I think that's kind of my go-to right now in news. And we can talk about this later. But really is I have no opinion on what you know about things.
Yay.
Yeah, like literally.
Thank you for all of what you're saying because all of what you're saying is what I try to do with the show. Mm-hmm. So as I'm sure you know when you hear from listeners, it means mm-hmm. so much when people say back to you what you're trying to do and that it actually is doing what you set out to do. So thank you for all of that. With the tech aspect, I would just add that I'm very conscious about that because we live in a digital world where tech, everything from an Apple update to how Amazon delivers their packages, all of that impacts our lives. And it's what people talk about and it's what we deal with on a daily basis. So I believe that news is the politics and some of the things happening that are a little bit more serious, but it's also how our world is in the digital space. And it's mm-hmm. also the social aspect of the mm-hmm. Emmy Awards happening tonight or mm-hmm. some of the entertainment stuff. So I think all of that is part of the news and I want it to be part of the news. And I don't like that people have to think of the doom and gloom is all they're going to get. You mm-hmm. know, I want you to be a well-rounded, informed person about a lot of different topics. And that doesn't mean it's all sad.
Yeah, I don't feel gross after I watch it.
Yeah.
Even like when I watch something like Rachel Maddow or something, I like, but it's just a lot.
It is a lot.
It's a lot.
And we have a lot going on in our lives.
And I feel negative when I, and after your show, I'm like, okay, I kind of know what's going on. I'm good. But I'm also a grandma and I love shows like CBS This Morning.
And so. I think there are people that they're like, you're my only news because I wasn't watching anything before. And that's great. But I also am not saying that I have to be your only news. I give you a really big picture of what's going on each day. And it's less than 10 minutes. So if you then are really interested in two of those stories, go read more about it. Yeah, I encourage people to do that. I'm not trying to be your only news. That's great if I am, but it's fine.
Because you cite your sources.
Yes.
You'll say where you get your sources. So like, oh, you said that was in the New York Times. So then I can go read it there if I want more about it, yada, yada, yada.
And I even list out all of the articles plus more that I look at on my website, the show notes each day. Mm. So you can go and see the exact articles that I referenced and read more from different perspectives. So, you know, I really try to bring in Fox News, CNN, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, maybe to one story. And you can... Mm-hmm. you know, get all of those perspectives in my one place. But if you're interested, go read those articles.
You
know,
busy.
I know it is a lot of work. I'm not going to lie.
It's a lot. It's like you and like, I always think of this when I interviewed Jen Briney, who hosts that show, Congressional Dish. I'm like, you girls have a lot. Like me, I just showed up and like you got here. And I was like, I'm going to go put some laundry in. I'll be right back, Erica. And then I did. And whereas like y'all are, you really have to do. How many hours of prep do you do for like one show?
I used to say like 4 or 5, but it's at least, I would say about 5 hours at least.
Wow.
Because I really do want to make sure I have everything.
Because if you read something, you probably then want to validate it with either another news source or so that way it's not just one outlet saying something.
So it'll take like an hour just to get my initial rundown of here's what's been happening all day. Because I don't start it till the evening, the night before it airs. Mm-hmm. So I catch up on everything that's been happening. I look at everything. So I look at a lot of things that don't end up in my show and I'm reading those articles. So all of that takes time. And then things that are a little bit more controversial or a little bit more political, I read multiple articles for those to make sure I'm getting all the different perspectives in those. And then I actually write my own version of it with all of that information. Mm-hmm. And I do it in a way that is like, we're friends and I'm telling you, and mm-hmm. it doesn't have to be like, this is Erica Mandy, you know?
It sounds like, oh my gosh, you do have news voice. That is what they do. Because, yeah, it doesn't sound like you, it doesn't sound like you sat and wrote this out. It sounds very conversational, but good. You probably sit and write that out on purpose because you
want to. I do, because accuracy is so important that I don't want to just do things off the top of my head in case I misremember something. Yes. So it's very important that I'm accurate. And then also with timing, I can't be rambling, right? I got to make sure that it is like I do 7 to 12 stories in less than 10 minutes every day.
Yeah.
So I do write it out, but I also am so conscious about saying it and, you know, going off script if I feel comfortable. But for the most part, I've just learned over the years and I've been very conscious about reading it and doing it in a way that doesn't sound like I'm an anchor at a news desk.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you. I appreciate you.
And you started out, so you're originally from Kansas. Let's talk a little bit about that. Yeah. You're originally from Kansas, Kansas City, you
yep.
said. And so did you like do the normal, you got into journalism and like what kind of was your process in getting to this?
Yeah, I think I really got into it when I was in college. I went to Indiana University after growing up in Kansas City. Oh yeah, they have a great music school and a great business school. And mm-hmm. they did have a good journalism school, which now they've rolled into like more of a media school.
Oh, okay.
But at the time it was journalism. And so when I was deciding, I was looking at journalism schools because I knew I loved to write. I loved to talk to people. I had a little bit of performance in me because I grew up dancing. Mm-hmm. So I knew I wanted to roll that in to my career. And the more I looked into journalism, the more interested I got into it. And then when I started taking classes, I fell in love with the broadcast style. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sure if I wanted to do magazine or broadcast, but I was like, wow, the way that you can take sound and video and writing mm-hmm. and all of that into one package mm-hmm. Really intrigued me, and getting to kind of be in person with people. Mm-hmm. So I went down that path and started in a small town and worked my way up.
Oh, wow. Where'd you start?
I started in Columbia, Missouri, where the University of Missouri is.
Nothing.
But yeah, it's like the middle. It's between Kansas City and St. Louis. So I started as a part-time reporter making $10 an hour. And
reporters make shit starting out.
Yeah.
I mean, shit.
So true. Do you know people that have done it? Because only people know that.
I know people that have done it. And then I used to, one of my hosting teachers when I first started out, like, gosh, like 7 years ago, his name's Jonathan Novak. And he's actually the weatherman now for ABC here in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
But he was like from smaller towns, and then he was like one of the bachelors or something like that. He was like the weatherman bachelor, whatever.
Oh,
he's only in LA. Yeah, he's a really nice guy, and was a really good hosting teacher. And because he had this background, he would have us do like what you would do in reporting. Like he was like, you're doing a car chase, and he would make us do it for like 7 minutes, but like be talking the whole time and not stop.
That's good. Yeah.
And I was really good at it, but I used to want to be on Entertainment Tonight when I was a kid. So yeah. I was kind of like you. And then he had us do the weather thing. And I guess being from like Oklahoma, Kansas, everybody else sucked. And I was like, I'm just going to be like Gary England. And I killed it. He even told me afterwards, he said, you would make shit money. He said, but if you want to go into this hosting thing, your route, you should totally be a weatherman and get into, because you're usually doing color commentary anyway.
You're a great podcaster, which is very similar in terms of having to talk. And
I would do it. I just don't want to go to like Lubbock, Texas.
Exactly. And that weeds a lot of people out. I'm not.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. I can't do it. So that's how I kind of know from him doing that.
Yeah.
Have you totally left broadcast? Or are you still working in that area as well in addition to your podcast? Or
so I left it. So after I went to Columbia, Missouri, I then went to Portland, Oregon, which was like a step up.
Mm-hmm.
Then I got a job in Los Angeles, which was like my dream job. Mm-hmm. After I was there for a while, I'd been in the industry a total of 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And basically what we talked about earlier, I kept hearing from people that news is too depressing. They weren't watching the news anymore, and I could see the changing industry, and I was like, I don't know that I want to be hopping on a plane every other day chasing the latest terrorist attack, or even here in LA like going and covering wind when it's like a little breezy outside, and then being scared I'm going to end up on Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
And because we have to talk about wind when there's no damage.
When there's no,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, and that's not every day. You know, I think that there, I also did a lot of stories that mattered, but it was becoming more like that. Or like, what's the latest cell phone video that we can talk to somebody about?
Yeah, what's the thing that will get us like a minute video that people are going to share on their social media?
Exactly. And it just didn't feel like it mattered, and that it was kind of becoming a joke. But more than that, people's news habits were changing, and I wanted to be on the forefront of how they're consuming news. And people ask me all the time, why did you leave like such a big name like CBS to start a podcast where it's a lot of, you know, some people think of it as kind of this independent thing where it's not as prestigious. But the thing is, podcasting is going up, radio is going down, TV ratings are going down, people's habits are changing. And
I'm a commercial actor, and I haven't booked a commercial in a year and a half because they're all going non-union now because nobody's doing even commercials.
Right.
Because when's the last time you watched one?
Exactly. And
yeah,
so
TV's dying.
I do think, you know, we'll eventually adjust, but I was sick of waiting. Like, even with social media, the news industry was always kind of the last ones. We're supposed to be reporting the trends, but yet we were the last ones to kind of catch up with it. And so I was like, I'm ready to make my own path, you know, not follow this traditional thing. And what's funny is that I left because I just couldn't do both at the same time. One, I was under contract with CBS that anything I did outside of them, because I am on air, is technically theirs and all that kind of stuff. But also timing. If I'm going to do a daily news podcast, I can't be also working 10 hours as, you know. So I am doing some moderating panels and speaking and hosting and that sort of thing, just one off here and there. But I couldn't juggle doing both, and I didn't really want to anymore. I was ready to create something new and different, and I knew I would have to give myself at least a year to see if it would grow and work. And if it didn't, then I would figure it out after that.
I feel like it is.
I think it is, yeah.
Yeah, is it growing?
It is growing every month. So I feel really good about that. And, you know, that is the – when I hear from listeners and they tell me what a difference it makes to them, it's all worth it.
You got a ton of reviews on iTunes.
Thanks.
Yeah, which if y'all like that podcast, if you like this podcast, be sure to leave a review on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you listen. It makes a difference. So how do you then on your show – how do you – I feel like one of the things I think that people just miss from the news – well, and this is, I don't even feel like we need to talk about, like, news outlet, that things that aren't news, like Breitbart, or even, like, on the other side, too, like Occupy Democrats that literally are just making shit up.
Right.
So there's, I'm not even going to go into that, because that's silly and stupid and doesn't really help anyone. But I do feel like even on major news outlets now, like I used to enjoy several years ago, I like CNN. Hard for me to watch CNN now because it's so there's just so much opinion put into the news. And even when I agree with them, and I probably agree with them most of the time, but it's still, I'm like, I don't know. It almost feels like an insult of my intelligence that you want to tell me what to think instead of letting me just evolve what I want to think. So how do you, and I bring that up in that a lot of news outlets that used to not be that way are that now. So how do you kind of fight against that?
Yes, I agree. And I think that most people want to understand where other people are coming from, even if they disagree. It's hard to make an opinion if you don't have all the facts or you don't feel like you do. So that is definitely something I think about every single day. And I recognize when something doesn't sound like the other, like if they give me information on an article that I'm reading or something that I'm looking at, then I'll seek out, well, what is the other side? Because this article is not giving it to me. And so I seek that out, and maybe they don't talk about the other side, but at least now I can pull from both of those sources into one place and give you both. And I think the key for me coming across unbiased is even having the same tone of voice when I'm talking about both sides, because I think a lot of times what happens is some news outlets will give the other side, but you can kind of tell the way that they say it, what they think, or that they're kind of harsher on one side when they're asking questions. And so I take a step back and say, am I saying it in the same way and giving it the same energy to both sides?
So What, I was really interested in what you were saying. It made me forget my question. So in doing the Newsworthy, which really smart name, by the way, because you think of the iTunes new noteworthy. And so,
oh, yeah.
So that, when you said Newsworthy, I was like, oh, so as a journalist, what is, because I haven't listened to all, I've listened to like probably 5 episodes, but just recently. And so, subscribe everyone too. So is it the only ones I've heard have just been giving the news? Have you done other interviews and stuff on your show too? Or are you planning on, do that kind of stuff, or for other people that are like, just, yeah.
Sure. So on January 1 of this year, I started something that I now call Thing to Know Thursday. So I give you all the day's news in less than 10 minutes. It's just me giving you 7 to 12 stories, everything from politics, tech, business, entertainment. Then on Thursdays only, after that day's news, I do about a 5 to 7 minute interview about a particular topic, like a thing to know that day. So it could be anything. I've had someone on who talked about that's done research about what a space force would be, because President Trump wants to start a space force, like another military branch. And then I've also talked about like tech gadgets to get on Father's Day, or, you know, so there's a wide variety of things that I bring on my show, but it's like one extra little thing. And I tried it as a little extra bonus interview, and I got really good feedback about it. It was nice to connect with guests, to talk a little more in depth about something, but still keep it short and convenient. And so as I expand and grow, I'm definitely not opposed to adding little segments like that after the day's news, that then someone can choose whether or not they stick around for that day's topic or not.
What, who's like the interview get that you want?
That I want?
Uh-huh.
Oh, you know, it's interesting. It's been actually an interesting challenge, because on one hand, it's like I would love to bring on some people that have these really interesting stories, but I'm committed to keeping it somewhat news related. Mm-hmm. So not everyone is the right fit for that, because they have a really amazing story, but it has nothing really to do with the news. So it's finding that like perfect person that has an incredible story and a big audience, but then also has something to do with the news. So I don't know.
Not a certain political figure or a scientist or
I'm careful
celebrity.
Not to make them too political. I have a whole list of potential people, but I try to keep it a little bit realistic right now, because I only have so much time to reach out to people.
Yeah, that's true.
So I thought it was interesting, and I come up with them usually within a week or two of having them on, because I want it to be a little bit timely. But a fun one that I had was the host of Shark Week, and he had he actually got into it because he was attacked by a shark, lost his hand and leg, and ended up, now he's the host of Shark Week, and he goes and dives with sharks after being attacked. So it was a really interesting interview, and he has an incredible story. But then also Shark Week was coming up, and there's a lot of news related items with the environment and sharks. So those types of interviews where it's like kind of a combo of a good personal story with a really interesting. Another one that I liked was about self-driving cars, because I just find that so fascinating. Mm-hmm. So I was able to get the head of or the retired head of the Consumer Technology Association. So he was like in it, working with all these companies about self-driving cars, and he has his finger on the pulse. So sometimes I like to go really news related, and sometimes I like to go with more of the celebrity vibe.
I know there are like weird people, like somebody who I'm sure he's just a host and a comedian, and he's probably really boring, but I'm interested to I would be interested to interview the guy that's the host of HQ. That like app, that game app, just because he's blown up. So what's his name? It's like Adam something. And people I would be interested to hear how his life's different, because we have celebrities on TV and film, but he's literally an app celebrity.
Yeah.
It's like this whole, and so the people he reaches are different, and it's people playing a game show. So I don't know. I think he would just have interesting stories about how this has kind of affected his life, and how he's, like, you might not have heard of him.
Right.
And how a lot of, like, the people that know him really know him, because it's somebody they see, like, once, twice a day, like your show, their friend.
Right.
But if you don't know him at all, you give two shits about who he is. So I'm interested. That would be an interesting interview for me, like somebody just kind of random.
Yeah, no, I love that.
So, what? Oh man, I keep talking and I forget my question. So what? So where do you feel like? Do you feel like news, in your opinion? And I know that you're not a researcher, but just in your experience and seeing it, do you feel like news is going to come? Well, first of all, I have two-part question. First of all, do you feel as a news person, do you feel, and I don't mean it to be a political question because I don't, but I just know, like, I mean, with our country and Bill of Rights and I just being in Philadelphia where we podcast movement, you see kind of what our founding fathers established for us to be able to have a free country. Do you feel threatened as a news person? Do you feel like the freedom of press is not under attack, but do you feel the freedom of press is threatened right now?
I mean, I do think throwing around the term of fake news is dangerous, not just for us, but for reporters across the world. I think that there is false news out there, and to your point of, you know, people who are literally making up the news. But I think that we need to tone down the rhetoric a little bit about it. But I also think that there is reason to be more skeptical, for journalists to be more transparent, for news consumers to ask more questions and to look at the information and where it's coming from. So I do think that I understand people's frustration. There's so many outlets and so much going on online that it's easy to kind of look at media as the problem. But I think it's kind of on both of us. It's on both of us to know where information is coming from and then for journalists to be transparent. And that's why I always say I put all the stories I reference on my website so that you can check what I'm saying. If you have questions, let's talk about it. So I think that we have to be careful because I do think journalism is very important, but I also trust that there's that kind of pendulum swing, you know, like we are also polarized.
Do you think it's going to get back?
I do think people, I think there's a lot of people that know the importance of journalism. I think people are just, there's news fatigue and some people are going to be extreme on both sides. But I think at the end of the day, most people know the importance of a free press and journalism. We just have to figure out how to be less polarized about it and how to make sure that everybody's getting their say and that that like being fair continues to be at the forefront. But I do think that already, like for example, with social media and tech, people became so addicted to it that now it's the tech companies who are saying, okay, let's, how can we make it better for you? Let's give you how long you've spent on it. And they're trying to put all these like screen tracking tools because they know that if you go too far on one side, it's eventually you're going to go all the way on the other side. So I think eventually it will come around. But I mean, I think that's why I started my show, is because I wanted to make sure that things were fair and unbiased. At the moment, knock on wood, don't get a lot of pushback because I think people appreciate that I'm trying to be fair. I think people are just tired of all the pundits and that turns into calls of fake news. And then the line gets blurred about what's a pundit and what's a journalist. And it just becomes confusing. So it's complicated. Yeah.
So what do you feel like, that prompts me another question for me. What is like one simple step people can do? Because I agree with you, like taking ownership of kind of your your news, and because I do that. If I read something on, like I said, I usually pretty much my go-to is NPR. I feel like they're the most, they don't have salacious headlines. Like it's just kind of the news and nothing but the news for the most part to me. Or if it's opinion, it's very separated out to kind of dictate that. Because I will look, they'll have a headline, you know, of, I don't know, it'll say like Hurricane Florence drenches Carolinas, and then you'll go to CNN and it'll say like people drowning in the street, and then Fox News will be like, you know, it's just like they go so cuckoo.
Right.
What are the one thing that people can do to kind of vet their news to make sure it's real, which sounds so messed up to say. But just, yeah.
Well, okay. So I think when it comes to news, I think doing what I do for you or just listening to me.
Just listen to you. Just listen to the show. That's what you do, y'all.
But it's the
newsworthy air command.
If something seems so outlandish, mm-hmm. so or you so agree with it, mm-hmm. you should question that.
Oh, because that's true. Usually, that if you so agree with it.
If you so agree with it or it seems like outrageous, mm-hmm. question it. Look at other outlets. If nobody else is reporting it, that's a red flag. Check the bylines of where things are coming from. If there's no contact information or name that you can research, that's a red flag. There are things you can do. But I think the biggest thing is to know that most of the time, either everyone's going to be reporting something if it's outrageous, or if it sounds outrageous or you overly agree with it, it's questionable. Now, I say it's also important for people to do that with everything we see on the internet, because everything. Memes and quotes that we think are correct because they look professional are not always professional.
Could have a quote that says butt sex is fine - Abraham Lincoln and people would believe it.
I don't want to quote it exactly because I don't have it in front of me, but there was a 2016 Stanford study, I believe, that like students did not know the difference between like a sponsored news article and a regular news article. 80% of students didn't recognize that. There was also just a picture of a flower that...
I mean, they do hide them very well.
Yes. But then also just, it doesn't even have to be news. It could be a picture of a flower that was destroyed in a disaster. And they assumed whatever it said on the picture, they just, okay, that's what that picture is. Mm. Instead of saying, well, where did this information come from? Mm. It could even just be a picture that comes across your Facebook feed that tells you this flower was destroyed in a natural disaster when it may have not been.
They'll show videos of protesters. And they'll say it's from a protest now, and I'll see somebody on Facebook getting all offended. Well, that actually was a sign from a protest 10 years ago.
Right.
That has nothing to do with.
And I think are so many different things. Again, the line gets blurred of if one person makes a mistake, that goes to all media. Mm-hmm. Or if something gets put on your Facebook feed, mm-hmm. now you start questioning everything, mm-hmm. you know, but you really can't. I think there was another study that found false headlines spread faster on Twitter, 6 times faster than truthful headlines.
Oh, yeah.
And it's because people feel validated, so they retweet it and it spreads. But again, if you feel like, oh, I knew it, don't just see That's if not. Other people are reporting that, where the information came from. It's just about being a little more skeptical.
That's my tip to people is don't just read the headline.
Yeah.
Because people do. And I've been do that. You'll see something. You're like, oh, that's great. And you're kind of going around on your phone. And then you tweet it out or Facebook it out. And then someone says, hey, did you read that part about raping animals? And I was like, what? I just shared this. What? And then I go look and I'm like, oh, my God. That wasn't in the headline at all.
Right.
Like the headline was like, you know, celebrate Earth Day, whatever. But no, literally. So that is my advice. It was just, if you are going to share something, that just read it.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the time to read it, then don't share it.
Right.
So that's my little 101 on that.
I just feel passionate about it because that's why I started what I started. Because I want to bring... You really should be looking at multiple news outlets and mm-hmm. not just trusting
you
one.
I go to and one, so, I'll look and see what Fox News says.
But I
about
do that
it.
Hard work for you is what kind of like my, not that you can't, but I'm saying like that is where I'm coming from and why I think.
Because the way you talked about Kavanaugh and all this was actually just today when I listened today, because in reading about Kavanaugh, the Supreme Court, and for y'all that don't know, which when this episode comes out will be the day of the hearing, if the hearing doesn't get postponed. So we'll see. But the woman accused him of sexual harassment or assault.
Yeah. When they were teenagers.
And but there, what was it? There was something about that now it's blanking my head now. I'm on my show. But I went, oh, I never heard that part of the story.
Right.
And I realized that probably because of where I was reading it from or kind of glancing it from because, you know, I have to, if I have time, to seek out another source. And what was it? And I was like, oh, anyway, you did it for me. So,
good.
Yeah, you did it for me. So I do appreciate it. So everybody, please listen to the news. So And you just record from your house? It sounds so good.
Thanks. I made basically a recording booth in my home office. So it's not necessarily pretty, but it does the job audio-wise I don't have to, because I record every night and it's late at night, that I don't want to have to go to a specific studio. So I created my own recording booth.
That's great. That's great. You know, Rachel Maddow started as a podcast, didn't she? I believe she did.
I don't know.
But it's funny because I think she was a podcast. So who knows where you're going to be?
I know, but I was that's the thing. Like,
so you like don't. So that's it.
I don't want that.
So if somebody said, "I want to come back and want you to be," you wouldn't do it.
No, I left that. I was on that path.
Yeah.
I was in LA, you know, second largest news market in the country. And if I would have continued down that path, I'm sure I would have gone to network or, you know, done some of those things. But like, that's again, not what I'm looking to do. I'm not saying I'm not opposed. I would be open to something that was more tech friendly, that had more of what I'm trying to do now. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to go back to just traditional news. If I wouldn't have stopped.
Like on Apple TV.
Yes. So I definitely want to expand the Newsworthy, make it video. I would love to be
she's pretty, y'all. Put you on camera. You're pretty.
I know I wasn't. Well, thank you. But I did leave camera or on camera, and I do miss that a little bit. But I think it was, let me grow the podcast audience. Then I can expand to video. I can expand the types of interviews we do and just make this a whole media organization that gives you on-demand news, you know, on Hulu or wherever, so that it's still when you want it, how you want it, but in kind of, or even maybe it's going to be on your Amazon show. Maybe it's going to be virtual reality. Mm-hmm. Who knows?
So we're going to get to Chatty Maddie in a second, but I do want to ask you too, who's your broadcaster idol that if you could meet them or interview them, you would just be like, oh, do you have one?
Yeah. I mean,
or do you not want to say?
No, that's fine. I don't know that there was like one person. I mean, obviously I love Oprah.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of people don't think of her as a broadcaster, but she was.
She started out in news and expanded from there. And I think just having that purpose behind what she does is amazing. I also really admire Katie Couric because I was growing up.
Yeah. That's a great podcast. Sorry,
yeah. Yeah. She has a podcast now, but growing up, you know, she was on the Today Show. Then she was the first woman to be solo evening news. And so I admire what she's done, and she has this great ability, which is what I try to do now too, to be serious when she needs to, but be like, she always comes across friendly, but serious and all of those things, you know? So yeah, I really admire, what she's done. I love Robin Roberts. I mean, I love them all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is a good podcast though. Katie Couric. That's a great one.
Yeah. Yeah. She's talented.
She is. I like her. okay. Let's jump into some Chatty Maddie.
Okay.
Let's see. So, these are the same five questions every week. So, Chatty Maddie number one is when, that's not the one. Oh yeah. What Chatty Maddie number one is, what is your most memorable childhood smell?
By the way, I'm so impressed. You have like no notes. You just have this off on your head.
Sure. I've done 150 shows. So at this point, I remember most of them. I also used to just pause. I used to do a lot more notes, and I still do some, like if it's something specific we want to talk about, or if I know I'm going to be quoting a statistic or something like that, or I've had some episodes like my friend, she was sexually assaulted and I wanted to talk to that and talk about specific quotes. But I have found that, if I had too many notes, I wasn't listening to you.
Right. It's not a conversation
as much. It's not a conversation, yeah.
And I think a lot of podcasters and journalists make that mistake too, yeah.
It does terrify me that, like, I think Oprah said she's gone through different incarnations. She's like, when she first started, she had copious notes. And then she went through a period where she didn't do notes at all.
Yeah.
And she said, I realized it wasn't a good idea when I was sitting down in Michael Jackson's house, and I realized, what's the first question I'm going to ask Michael Jackson 5 seconds before we went on air?
Oh, man.
And she said, and I did it, and it was fine. But after that, she said, I'm going to have some notes.
Yes.
And I'm not going to be so in the moment. I was like, Michael Jackson? Like, I think I would have had notes.
I like to have a couple bullet point questions. And that I can lean on and get the conversation going. But then you always just want to be able, as you said, listen and then go off of what they say and then come back, you know.
Come back.
So, yeah.
So, yes. Okay. So, favorite childhood smell? Or memorable.
Most memorable was probably my grandparents' house. Mm. We would go there. They lived in St. Louis. We were in Kansas City. So we would go and there was always just a distinct smell. And then like
old people or like food or like dust or wet cat.
It was probably a combination of old people and food.
Which people know what that smells like.
I know. Now I feel guilty.
No, I bet you maybe people are like, oh, I know. Because my grandmother.
But it's memorable.
Like
it
smelled like somebody just made a meatloaf. Right. And then it smelled like old lady perfume in our house always. Yep. Always. Clinique's Aromatics Elixir. I still remember that perfume. Okay. Chatty Maddie number two. What would be the name of your memoir?
So something like My Most Important Live Shot. Because a live shot in TV talk is when you're going live. So I'd have a live shot on the 11 o'clock news, right? Mm-hmm. But my most important live shot is my life because it's live. You can't go back. This is your life and, you know, the tape's rolling. So so it kind of brings in the TV background with this idea that I'm also like living my life to the fullest. And that's why I left TV. Because I was like, if you can't take a risk and go for something, then what are we doing?
Yeah. 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 Amen. I could end the show on that, but we've got three more questions. okay. Chatty Maddie number three. What's the best piece of advice that you wished you had taken earlier in life?
Stop caring what other people think.
People say that a lot, but I always need to hear it. You're probably the 10th person to say it on my show, but I always need to hear it.
It's such a hard one because we're such social creatures that even when you're like, I know I shouldn't care what they think, but I do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, leaving the traditional news path and starting my own business has helped me grow in that area so much because all of a sudden I left this quote unquote prestigious job and everybody was watching to see like what I do and am I going to fail or succeed and why did I do that? And that put so much pressure on me to think like I have to make this work so that people, you know, admire me and don't think that I fail. And then I realized that like that's not why I'm doing this. And in fact, I don't know. So I think almost having that extra pressure has helped me care less and do it for the right reasons. Mm. And I also, when I gave it up, I knew like there was an aspect. I almost thought of news a little bit like a drug because it's such an adrenaline rush when you're on breaking news and you kind of people's eyes light up when you tell them that you're a news reporter for CBS. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying it's anything that deserves that, but that is the reality. Like people don't necessarily talk about like what you do every day as an accountant, but they don't understand, you know, they want to know about what you do as a reporter. Mm-hmm. And so when I decided, it was a very conscious decision to say, I'm not going to be able to tell people that I'm a network news reporter and realizing that that was just my ego wanting to tell people that. And when I was able to let that go and actually focus on how I wanted to make my mark on the news industry, then that's what mattered to me more. Mm-hmm. And now I care more about what my listeners think about what I'm doing than what those past colleagues or friends think about whether or not I'm going to fail. So I'm focused on the right people and the right things. And I think that was a journey.
Was it a journey too of, is it, hopefully it's better, but is it, I imagine it's just tougher being a woman still in the news because it is such a, like a, it's
visual.
It's such a visual of like, usually have the old white guy who's going to be an anchor. And like, so is it coming up? Were you met with that a lot or did you get that? Or is that kind of gone to the wayside more?
So what I find frustrating even now, and I think people can relate in a lot of different industries, is that just I think women have to think more about what they're going to wear, what their hair looks like, doing their makeup. And so not only is that added pressure and what people tend to comment about instead of the content that you're working your butt to pull together, but it's also wasted time. Mm-hmm. I used to, you know, I can enjoy dressing up and all of that. But when I think about it, when another reporter who can just wear the same five suits every day and they don't really think about it and they, you know, throw some water through their hair and don't have to do any makeup, they're spending that extra hour making phone calls, doing mm-hmm. other stuff for their job that I then have to play catch up and spend another hour after getting ready. Mm-hmm. Then I am trying to catch up on the content. And so that's where I find it a little bit frustrating, where it's like, I want to be able to do the things that matter when we are kind of forced to think more mm-hmm. about what we look like and are our nails done and what are we wearing. Or there was one time I had never gotten called into my boss's office, and I like busted my butt the night before to do this story. And then I got called into the office the next day, and I'm thinking, okay, is this good or bad? Like, what was my, like, thinking about all the content I did the night before. And all he said was, that necklace you wore last night was really distracting. Don't wear that again.
Wow.
And it's like, I get it to a point. Like, I wasn't too sensitive if people wanted to tell me.
Why do you have to call? Can't you just like shoot an email, some great job, da-da-da,
or have that be part of the feedback you give me, not the only feedback
that's what
you
I'm saying, like,
exactly.
Part of the feedback, yeah. Not the only.
Right. And same thing, like, viewers often, you know, it's just, and it's not anybody's fault except for all of society, but.
Well, no, I think what you're, it's probably that guy, I don't know, maybe he is an asshole. I don't think he probably is, but I feel like it's, even I, as a man, after the Me Too movement, like, and it's fine, but I realized that because I'm just a man, period, I feel more comfortable, because I notice I won't do this with men, but I will comment on women's bodies to them. Usually, it's always in a positive way. Like, right. If I'm like, oh, you lost weight, you look good, you look fit. And I mean, I might say that to a man, but I notice that I'm, or like, ooh, that skirt makes your butt look good or whatever. And I'm not even, it's not sexualized.
Right.
But it still is this insidious way that I have, because I'm a man, I can comment on your body.
Right.
And so that's a bit, that's something that's changed for me after me.
But see, that's amazing that you can then evaluate yourself, take something away from it. And I'm sure there were plenty of people you did not offend when, like, but I do think in general, when we focus too much on looks, and we tend to do that with women more, mm-hmm. then the pressures are different and mm-hmm. what we have to think about are different. And, mm-hmm. you know, you worry about being judged based mm-hmm. on that. And I think it goes, I think it's for both genders, but I do think it's worth thinking about,
yeah,
you know. And
for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Okay. Chatty Maddie number four. What is one day, and I got to think of a different question. I'm kind of over this question, Erica. Man, maybe your journalist brain can probably think of a new one, but I'll ask you and see. But what day would be your Groundhog Day? So what day was such a great day that you're like, I could do this over and over?
I don't want to be cliche.
You're going to say your wedding day?
It's my wedding anniversary today.
What? Why are you here?
Because we celebrated over the weekend and he's out of town anyway.
How many years?
2 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're only 2 years in. You can still say your wedding.
But I'll tell you why. And I know I was like, this is going to be cliche and probably people say that
no,
too often.
It's okay.
But it really is for
it's
me.
Lovely.
So I moved around a lot for TV. You know, mm-hmm. I went to school in Indiana. Then I went to Missouri, then Oregon, then mm-hmm. LA. And so I made little like families in all those little places because I didn't have anybody else because mm-hmm. we were like working weekend nights, you know?
Yeah.
And so I've had all these friends all over. And so it was just like to have all of these people that I've loved over
you
my years
come
into one place and like they would interact with each other. And then it was also to like celebrate this great guy that I found. And so it was less about like the doop-de-doop of the wedding.
Yeah.
But it's so much about like bringing in all of my friends and family into one place. I mean, it just really
when
is.
When your friends get along with other friends and then they even become friends.
I know.
Nothing makes me happy. It's one of the, it's like the happiest thing.
I know.
So no, that's great.
I should think of another one.
No,
though.
Because you explained it. Other people, everybody's, not everybody, a lot of people said their wedding day. No one said the birth of their kids. They're like, that day was so fucking stressful. But a lot of people have talked about their weddings, but they usually talk to their loved one and other people, but they talk a lot about their love, like just the getting married part.
Right.
But not anyone's ever described it as that I think bringing in these pockets of family. I love that.
Because you're bringing the families together. So it's about you two, like about the two of you. But like Dan and I are already living together. We, you know, not that much changed with mm-hmm. us other than like really feeling like we're family. But I think it's, for me, it was about all of the people we love in one place, mm-hmm. because we both don't live in our hometowns anymore and mm-hmm. all of that. So mm-hmm. that's pretty special.
Yeah, it is special. All right, Chatty Maddie, number five. When are you most inspired?
So probably one of two things. One would be in the shower, because I think you take a step away from whatever you're focusing on.
And there has to be a study about that. I just thought about this yesterday, because I was in the shower and I went, oh, that'd be a good idea for like a short film or for a show.
Right.
And there has to be something, I'm sure if I just Google it, but there has to be something about running water, like hitting your body.
Yes.
Like there's got to be something that's released in your body.
I do think so.
Too many people say it.
And I do think also, like, when I'm stressed, there is something about it's like almost washing away whatever you're currently focused on, mm-hmm. and allowing your mind to kind of, you know, take a step back, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because you kind of have to focus on other things, but not too much, mm-hmm. where you can't let your mind mm-hmm. wander. But I would also say I'm most inspired when I hear from listeners. I mean, even literally, it motivates me when you were talking about, like, the things that you think about my show, because
I meant it too.
What?
I meant it. I meant that.
Oh,
shit.
Thank you.
I'm
thank
not
you.
Making it up.
But when I hear that, I'm like, okay, like yeah. what I think I'm doing, it sounds like maybe I really am doing. And so yeah. that is motivation for me.
It's rewarding too when you yeah. set it in as, because what you're doing, yes, you're giving news, but also it's artistic, it's creative, because you're wanting to create a mood, a feeling, or
right.
whatever that's. So there's something very rewarding when you, that's abstract. That's not mm-hmm. something that's definable. It's not a sport where you're going to win the game or not. So for you to have a vision for something
right.
and to create it, and then it's received in the intention that you created it in, that to me is like, that's one of those things that makes you feel like you're being connected to the universe or to God or whatever that is for you, that you're living that. And I think you are.
Thank you. Yeah. I mean, I recently had a listener tell me that they're going to vote for the first time this year because they finally feel informed enough, and because they always had tuned out news for all the reasons we talked about. And now they feel like they have their finger on the pulse in terms of what's going on. And so mm-hmm. they now want to vote for the very first time. And it was like, wow, that's huge.
Yeah. That's what it's about. It's just because that is, I think, kind of what when news is at its best, what it is that it gives you information that empowers you
yep.
to make change in your world, whatever that is, whether that's to be a better mother because you learn about parenting skills, or to be a better father, or to be whatever. I love that. Erica Mandy,
thanks
for being
for
on the show
me.
Yeah, this was great, everybody, and on your anniversary, have a good girl, I appreciate that. Everybody, listen to The Newsworthy. When I put this out on Thursday, I'll put your website. Is the website just news?
The Newsworthy.
TheNewsworthy.com?
Yep.
So I'll put that, but I'll also put in like the Apple link. But I'll hopefully be able to link it to Thursday's show.
Okay.
So that way.
Oh, perfect.
It'll go. Because this will go up on
Yeah, Facebook. I think you can just send it straight to the show on the app, and it'll give you the latest episode.
Oh, yeah, I think
yeah.
I don't have a tech person. I do it all myself, Erica Mandy. Well, thank you so much for being here.
Thank
I appreciate
you
driving
so
up.
Much. This was so fun.
Oh, good, good, good. And for everybody else, y'all know the deal. Be sure to check out Erica's show. You can go to the show notes, get that. Leave a review of her show. Sugars, leave a review of this show. And really, go after you do. If you feel uninformed or you feel overwhelmed by the news, go get your little 10-minute fix today, and then you're out the door, sugars. So, all right, everybody, we'll see you next week. Do something for yourself, and I love you. Bye. Well, sugars, there you go. So be sure to check out The Newsworthy with Erica Mandy. It's, again, fast, fair, fun. It's wherever you listen to podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, all that good stuff. And sugars, Jake and I are ramping up TVT time. If you're into Riverdale, that's going to be starting in October, but we're doing episodes now. We were supposed to talk about Riverdale on this week's episode, but we ended up talking about the new Mary Poppins movie and our feelings about that trailer, that teaser. I'm so torn. Anyway, so you can check that out at TVT time. Sugars, we're also, Jake and I are going to start a Sabrina podcast. So if you're going to watch that show on Netflix, we will be recapping that. Lots of stuff happening, going on.
I get bored. I just have to do stuff. I don't know if it's working or not. No. But several of you recently reached out about the show, about how it's affected you. As you know, some of you saw my social media. I am in the, thinking about rebranding Dear Maddie. I'm thinking about, you know, do I still keep doing advice questions? Because I feel like I'm not getting a lot of advice questions now. And I'm wondering, what do you enjoy about the show? I'm kind of interested in going in deeper interviews with guests. Don't know exactly how that's going to work. I think I'm going to change the name, because if you listen to Stuff You Should Know or Armchair Expert or Please Advise, you know exactly what that show is. And I kind of feel like people don't. I thought people would think of Dear Abby, but they don't, y'all. They don't. I've done a study. They don't. So, and if I move away from advice, it doesn't need to have Matt in the title. So anyway, if you have any ideas on this, if you want to let me know what you do enjoy about the show, you can go to DearMaddieShow.com and you can go to the Ask Maddie and send me an email, or you can tweet me or Facebook me or Instagram me at TheMattMar. All right. I love you, sugars, and I'll see you next week. Bye.